You are not part of the flock of God simply because you were born into a Christian family. You don't belong to the flock of God just because you go to church.
This is Straight Talk.
Hello, friends. You're listening to Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Halleck, your host here in Chicago with senior pastor and author, Pastor Mark Jobe from New Life Community Church. We're in a series titled Christ Said I Am. We're looking at the seven I Am statements of Jesus about himself and how that really changes everything for your life and for the world. Jesus makes some strong claims and strong calls like, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, pick up his cross and follow me. He says things like, I didn't come to bring you peace, but a sword to divide a man from his family, to come after me. And all of these statements depend upon who he really is. Pastor Mark, in today's message, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, John chapter 10. What is something somebody supposed to do with a statement like that?
You know, Jesus is the good shepherd. At his heart is the heart of someone who really cares. At the heart of Jesus is someone that's not this distant judge, but he describes himself often as the shepherd. This image of a shepherd with a little dumb, helpless lamb is the heart of Jesus. So if you don't know Jesus as a shepherd, as a caring individual that protects, that walks, then you've missed the heart of who Jesus really is.
Beautiful image, beautiful picture that Christ has given us of himself. Today, friend, we pray you would come to know Jesus as your shepherd as well. As David prayed in the Psalm, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. And Jesus says, that's who I am. We're in John chapter 10. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd.
There's certain things that we debate back and forth that are minors within theology. But there are other things that are majors in theology that you cannot negotiate. Jesus and who he is and the deity of Jesus, Jesus being God, is a non-negotiable in Christianity. Listen to me well. You are not a Christian if you do not accept the implications of Jesus not only being the Son of God, but Jesus being God himself. You may be a sympathizer with Christianity. You may be an explorer of Christianity. You may be someone that is moving towards Christianity, but you cannot be a Christian without fully understand or without fully embracing the fact that Jesus Christ not only is the Son of God, but Jesus Christ is God himself. That's a non-negotiable in Christianity. Amen? So, as we jump into this passage, I want us just to kind of understand what Jesus said about himself. You see, you can't say that Jesus was a good person and then not accept what Jesus said about himself. A good person doesn't lie. A good person doesn't deceive. You can't say, well, I really like Jesus, but I don't believe what he said about himself. Hold on a second. If you like Jesus, you have to accept the claims of Jesus. And to understand the claims of Jesus, you have to look at what Jesus said about himself. Now, I'm going to warn you as I jump into this passage that this passage is going to stir up the hairs on some of the back of your necks. Because Jesus, his message sometimes is somewhat, well, it stirs people up. Down through church history, Jesus was crucified because of what he stood for in his message. The 12 apostles that Jesus personally mentored, 11 of the 12 apostles were martyred, crucified upside down, head chopped off, boiled in boiling, scalding oil. 11 of the 12 apostles were martyred because the message that they proclaimed was hard for people to hear, and people rose up and persecuted Christians. In the early centuries of Christianity, the Romans, when Jesus came to this earth during the time that the Roman Empire was in full swing. And during the time of the Romans, people believed in many gods. They were They were pluralistic in what they believed. They believed that there was the goddess of fertility, and they believed the goddess of prosperity. There was the god of the sea. There was the god of health, and there was the god of war, the god of victory. They had hundreds of gods that they followed, and they had images for all of those gods. And so if you said, well, I believe in this God, so they would say, great, I believe in this God. And someone else says, I follow this God. And which God will I follow? A, B, and C. Great, I follow A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And so they had all these gods that they followed, and they were okay with each other. But when Christians came on the scene, suddenly they were feeding Christians the lions, burning them, crucifying them. And you ask your question, well, if everybody had so many gods, why were they so against Christians? Let me tell you why. Because when Christians came on the scene, Christians did not say, Christ is one God among many gods. Christians said, Christ is the only God and the only way to God. In order to be a Roman citizen, you had to pledge your allegiance to Caesar, and Caesar was considered a god. And so to become a Roman citizen, you had to go through a ceremony in which you gave allegiance to Caesar as a god. Christians refused to go through that ceremony because they said, we will bow our knee to no other than the true God. We will not acknowledge Caesar as a god. And so they were considered traitors. Their message also was, we love everybody, but the Bible declares that there's one way to God. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and there's a right way, and there's a wrong way. Now, I'm going to talk to you about a passage here, and I want to talk to you a little bit about that, because I believe that we live in a day and age in which universalism is pretty much what a lot of our society believes. Universalism, in essence, says that no matter what religious path you follow, as long as you're sincere, as long as you have faith, we all end up in the same place. So you may be in Africa worshiping a tree. As long as you do that sincerely, then you'll end up in the same place. Or you may be a Hindu and follow Hinduism, and it's the same as Christianity, because as long as you're sincere and have faith, we all end up in the same place. You may believe in extraterrestrial beings and think that somehow they're going to bring salvation to the world. As long as you have faith and you're a good person, we'll all end up in the same place. So there's this mentality that it doesn't really matter what you believe. As long as you're sincere and have faith and don't try to hurt anybody, that ultimately our destination is the same. And so our culture tries to tell us that the right way to believe is that pretty much everywhere, every way leads to the same place. Listen to me well. Christianity has never taught that. Never. The Bible teaches that there's a right way and there's a wrong way. If you were to come out someday, if you were driving down the street and you were to stop and ask me, hey, how do you get to the Sears Tower? I'm just really not sure. I'm not from Chicago. I don't know how to go. I could say, you know, it doesn't really matter which road you take. You can go north. You can go south. You can go east. I think you'll all end up there anyways. You wouldn't be too happy with my direction giving, I can tell you that. Because we all know that not every road leads to the same place. Well, in the religious theological arena, it's the same. There are some paths that lead you down a road of destruction, and there are some paths that lead you to life, and we have to be able to discern between the right way and the wrong way. Now, Jesus is speaking to a group of people. And he has just, last week we saw that he had just healed the blind man with some mud in his eyes. And the Pharisees were so angry that Jesus had done it on the Sabbath and that the people were honoring Jesus for this miracle that they kicked the blind man out of the synagogue, which was the equivalent of the church. They kicked him out of church. And so Jesus gives this little sermonette as a result of that. And I want to begin reading in verse 1 of chapter 10. He says, I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them all out on his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. People were listening to Jesus. They had a puzzled look like, what are you talking about, Jesus? What are you saying with this? Verse 9, Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. So he continues to explain in verse 7. Therefore, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Now, this whole parable that Jesus is talking about has to do with sheep and sheep pens. Now, most of us here in this auditorium, we didn't grow up around sheep. Anybody own sheep? I have to ask because in our 10 o'clock service in Lincoln Park, I asked that, and to my surprise, a hand went up. It's like, you own sheep? I said, you don't have sheep in your condo, do you, bro? Because I think that's illegal. He said, no, I own it somewhere in Indiana. So most of us here did not grow up around sheep, don't have sheep. Jesus used what was common to the people in those days, but because we live in a big city like Chicago, most of us aren't very familiar with sheep.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled, I Am the Good Shepherd, which is from Pastor Mark's new series called CSI, Christ Said I Am. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of John chapter 10 with tonight's message called, I Am the Good Shepherd.
I have the distinct advantage that when I was younger, I grew up in a little village in northern Spain outside of a city called Burgos, in a little town called Rubena. Rubena had 200 people and about 400 sheep. And so as a young boy, my best friend was the son of the shepherd in the town. His name was Jose Luis, and his father's name was Jose. And Jose was the town shepherd. Every morning, he would get up early in the morning, and all of the sheep that had spent the night in their own personal corral, whatever family they belonged to, would be released in the street. And as the shepherd walked by with his dogs, they would gather the sheep from this pen and that pen and that pen. They would walk down the sheep. We always know when they had been there because sheep leave stuff behind. On my way to school, I'd have to jump around the stuff they led behind. But they would all gather, and 400 sheep then would go out to the hills around our village, and they would spend the day out in the hills eating of the pasture. And then at nighttime, when dusk came, the shepherd would gather his dogs and the sheep would all make their way back into town. I know this because my best friend, the shepherd's son, would always have to go help his father cross the railroad tracks. There were hundreds of sheep, and it was kind of a scary thing to get 400 sheep across a railroad track before you entered the town. And we had a couple close calls. I remember the day that I discovered how dumb sheep were. You would think that Jesus could have compared us to tigers. I have a couple boys. You know, boys like to say, hey, if you were an animal, what animal would you be? They like to act like animals. I've never had a boy that said, I want to be a sheep. I've never seen a circus where they highlighted sheep in the circus. I mean, there's the elephant act, the tiger act, the lion act. I've never seen the sheep act. In part because sheep aren't that bright. In fact, the day I realized how dumb sheep were, where it was one evening, I was down with my friend, and the sheep were crossing the railroad track as fast as they could. And then in the distance, we saw a train coming. The shepherd was panicked at that time, and he said, hurry them up. And so Jose Luis and I were trying to get the sheep across. We were making noises. The dogs were at it, and the sheep were coming. The train was coming. I mean, it was looking pretty scary. There happened to be one sheep that was sort of way in the back that was a little bit lame, crippled a little bit, limping. And so we got all the sheep across the railroad track just in time, but my friend was holding on to one of the sheep that was lame because he wasn't going to make it. So everybody got across but one sheep. And so we were like, high five, great, whoa, that was close. And my friend was holding on to the sheep. The train was passing by, so he let go of the sheep. And this sheep, seriously, I saw it, I'm a personal eyewitness of it. The sheep kept walking. We're like, stop. Don't you see? There's a train. Fast motion. It's making noise. It kept walking. Seriously. And then committed suicide. Literally. I'll spare you the bloody, gory details, but it was bloody. This sheep just stuck its head in the train. Now, I thought, that's the day I realized how dumb sheep were. It's like, how dumb can you be? I mean, don't you see it coming? So, when Jesus refers to us as the sheep, and him as the shepherd, there's a bit of a subliminal message to all that. That oftentimes we are prone to wander astray, that oftentimes we make bad choices, that oftentimes we need to be guided because we're misguided, that oftentimes we're not the brightest in the world when it comes to spiritual decisions. Nonetheless, every time Jesus talks about being a shepherd, he talks about being a shepherd with incredible love and compassion for the sheep. And so, the first thing I see in this passage is that the shepherd calls us to follow him and we respond. There's four things I see about the shepherd in this. He calls us to follow him. Notice it says that there's a lot of thieves and robbers or impostors that have come before. Jesus says if they climb over the wall, you know that they're not the legitimate shepherd, because the legitimate shepherd enters through the gate. What gate is he talking about? He's talking about the gate that was opened, the gate of prophecy. Hundreds of prophecies were told about Jesus that he would come. The Father opened up the door. Jesus walked through the gate that had been laid ahead of him. And there's others that have come claiming to be the Christ, false religions, others that have come trying to get a hold of the sheep, trying to lead them astray. But the true shepherd enters in through the gate. He says, the man who enters into the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him. And I love this. Listen. And the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. I want you to understand that you are not part of the flock of God simply because you were born into a Christian family. You don't belong to the flock of God just because you go to church. You're not a part of being a follower of Jesus just because you own a Bible, or because you went to Sunday school when you were young, or because you attended Awanas when you were in junior high, or because you went to a neighborhood youth group when you were in your teenage years. You don't become a part of the family of God or the flock of God, part of the followers of God, because something was done to you. You were christened when you were a baby. You see, all those things are good. None of those things are necessarily bad, but here's the thing. None of those things make you a part of the flock of God. There's only one way that you actually become a part of the flock of God, and that is when you hear his voice. And he calls you unto himself. And when he calls you unto himself, you respond to his voice as he's calling you to follow him. And as he calls you to follow him, you hear his voice, you respond to his voice, and you start following him. You see, you do not become a Christian through your parents' merit. You can tell me, well, Pastor, my parents really believed in God and I was born into a Christian home. And that's good. I'm glad you were. But hello, you're not a Christian because your parents were Christians. Yeah. You don't become a Christian by hereditary. It's not a hereditary thing. It's not a location thing. You don't become a bodybuilder just because you walk into a gym. You're not a hamburger because you go to McDonald's. You're not a Christian because you walk into the temple or to a church. Being here does not make you a Christian. There are people here every Sunday that come. Some are visiting, some come, some are regular. People here every Sunday that are in this building that come to a worship service, but listen to me well, but are not followers of Jesus Christ. I know that. I assume that. I assume that every week there are people here that come that are exploring, seeking, searching, investigating, counting the costs, trying to figure out what it really means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, a little bit confused sometimes, not really clear about their walk in God. But I assume that every Sunday among hundreds of people that attend here, that there's always people here that don't necessarily know Jesus Christ. And I'm okay with that. I know that. In fact, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, I'm really happy you're here. You may be here today and not even know if you believe in God. And I'm glad you're here, because no better place to start discovering what you believe than in the house of God with the people of God among those that love Jesus. I don't assume that everybody's a Christian here. And we want to give people a little room to explore. I have people almost on a regular basis. I'll run into people that'll tell me, hey, I'm coming, but I don't really know what I believe. I'm coming, but I'm not in yet. One guy ran into the hallway. He says, you know, I'm coming, I really like it, but I'm an atheist. Okay, all right. I'm out for you. Seriously. I'm biased towards Christ, and you can come the way, however you are, but man, I'm going to want you to love Jesus the way I love Jesus and what this is about. We're a Christian church and we're all about Jesus. So you can come believing whatever you want to believe and being wherever you want to be. And we don't want to pressure you, push you, kick you, because we understand that that's not the way you come to Christ, that it has to be a personal decision. So we want you to explore, but I'm biased about Jesus. I want you to accept him, embrace him, follow him, yield your life to him, because I believe it's the best decision you'll ever make in your life. I really do. But Jesus said that the followers hear his voice and they respond to him. The only way that you can become a follower of Jesus Christ is when you hear the voice of God calling you to follow him. It can happen through a message. It can happen however it may be. Personally, when I was 15 years old is when I really made a decision to follow Christ. I still remember the place and the time. I was in my grandmother's basement and I was alone. There was no one else there. I'd grown up in a Christian home. I knew my parents were missionaries, and so I knew everything about it. But I also understood that there had to be a personal decision on my part to follow Christ.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called CSI, Christ Said I Am. And tonight was the first half of his message called I Am the Good Shepherd. Join us again on the next Straight Talk for the second half. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find other helpful tools to help you in your walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, just contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's book, called Unstuck, is also available for just $10 plus shipping. If you're looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations in and around Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would love to meet you. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself. Thanks again for listening. Have a great night, and please do join us again on the next Straight Talk for the second half of Pastor Mark's message called I Am the Good Shepherd. God bless.